Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
I know that must have been like a very bad thing for you to watch, but I gotta tell you, it brought me so much joy when it happened. Welcome to Checking Out the Competition, Boston Bruins edition number one. We're joined by Dan Ryan of Stanley Cup of Chowder. Dan, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Apparently my cat is also good because he won't shut up. Anyway, so I guess I'll start off by asking you kind of like high-level Bruins stuff. The Bruins lost some kind of big-name pieces over the offseason, Torey Krug and Zdeno Chara, most notably. How has the team been dealing with losing what I assume were two pretty important pieces on the defense?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, they're two very different players. They're both defensemen, but one's arguably one of the premier offensive defensemen in the league at this moment, and the other one is a guy who's never been known for offenses and is definitely in the twilight of his career. So they kind of lost a solid defensive defenseman and a very good offensive defenseman. Interestingly, though, thus far, you know, you could probably argue a lot of it's due to goaltending, but their defense hasn't been terrible. You know, they gave up a goal last game, lost a couple others in overtime. One in the shootout. So it's not like their defense is letting them down. But I do think, you know, they're struggling, haven't scored a 5-on-5 goal yet, which is remarkable. I mean, three is pretty, you know, not too long, but to not score an even strength goal is pretty hard to do. Not so much Chara, but Krug, well, he was great on the power play. And that's where, you know, he made his money, so to speak. He was also really good at, you know, I think generating solid zone exits, which lead to good rushes the other way and odd man chances, things like that. And, you know, in the first few games, it's not that it's been glaringly absent, but I think if you look hard enough, you might be able to put two and two together. And, you know, while Charlie McAvoy has been great, and he, you know, has that talent as well, part of me thinks that it's a place where they might miss a guy like Krug, who he could skate it out if he had to. You know, there were times last year where, or previous years really, that he and David Pastrnak, who's out too, would do a set play where Krug would shoot a slap shot from the opposite blue line, have Pasternak go chase it, things like that. So, you know, I think if we're being honest, I'm sad they let Chara go. I think it was dumb. But I think at this point, the impact of losing Krug is probably a lot more noticeable. And, you know, it's not as bad as I think some people feared, because, like I said, the defense has been relatively fine. They haven't gotten blown out. They haven't given up, you know, six goals yet or anything like that. But I do think that that element of Krug's game would probably benefit them at this time. Would it be, you know, a huge difference maker? Maybe not, but it certainly wouldn't hurt a team that isn't doing much scoring right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Pasternak, because obviously I want to ask about him too. That's kind of a big deal. Like you said, I'm assuming that's kind of impacting the scoring a bit. Obviously, and when I think about the Bruins, I mean, I think about that top line, like I'm sure everyone does. And losing a piece of that is obviously going to be a problem, because I would say, I mean, I would assume that a large part of the Bruins' success over the last few years is, you know, can be attributed to that line. I did read that he has been starting to skate recently. Is there any timeline for when he might come back, or is it still up in the air?
Yeah, I believe he was at practice today in non-contact jersey, so he's not quite ready yet. But I believe the original time frame was mid-February, but I think last Cassidy talked about it, they said he was slightly ahead of schedule. So I would assume, you know, barring a really quick improvement, maybe a couple weeks at least, you know, because it's kind of surprising that it's already January 20th. So February is really only about a week and a half away. So I think he could be back within a couple of weeks, but you know, there's going to be time it takes for him to get up to speed too. So the problem is, you know, if he's back in 2 weeks and it takes him 2 weeks to get his legs underneath him, you know, we're a month into the season, and if the Bruins still can't score in a short season and in a good good division, you know, they could be in trouble pretty early. So, you know, I do think that he's a pure scorer and he will really help the power play. So it's not like, you know, he's a speed guy who really needs to get his legs back, but you have to think there's going to be a period of adjustment for him to get going. So, you know, it could be another 3 weeks to a month before the Bruins have him back and are kind of firing on all cylinders. And, you know, the tough part is who knows who else they might lose in that time. So it's just kind of tough when it's, you know, a rocky start really for every team, just based on the weirdness of it all. But then you're without, you know, the best goal scorer your team more than a decade, probably, in a short season where you already lost an offensive piece like Krug. So, you know, it's not ideal, but the team has looked okay thus far. So I think if they can kind of hang around without Pasternak when he gets back, it should be a big boost for both 5-on-5 and the power play as well.
Okay, so let's get into these three games that the Bruins have played so far. They're playing tonight. Is that happening?
No.
Okay.
You have that weird kind of crappy early season stretch of days off. So like they're, you know, I think they went to Monday night. So they played Monday at 5, and now they have Tuesday, Wednesday off completely, and then they're playing Thursday, and it seems like most of the season's every other game, so it kind of stinks to have 2 days off only three games in.
Yeah, right.
No, they've only played three, so they played Monday night.
Okay, yeah, so they're one win, one loss, one overtime loss, and the big story, as you
it's nice,
yeah, right, just, you know, getting everything out of the way early. As you mentioned, kind of the big story with the Bruins early in the season is that you guys can't seem to buy a goal, which is pretty wild given the very talented offense that the Bruins have. What is going on there? Is it just that Pasternak is out and that piece of that top line has just thrown everything off? Like, I mean, we've lost Sean Couturier, and it is very obvious that when you lose a piece of your top line, everything kind of starts to go a little bit wonky. So it's understandable, but is that what it is, or is there something deeper going on?
Yeah, I would argue it's a little of a few different things. So obviously, with Pasternak out, you know, the all of the lines really are at least a little screwed up. You know, so you have someone moving up where they should be down, or someone moving to a wing where they should be on the other side, things like that. And then the fact that they lost Andre Kasha a game and a half into this season too, for who knows how long. Seems like it might be a little while. So, you know, you're out your top right wing when Kasha went out, you're out your second right wing. So all of a sudden, on Monday, I believe, at least for a time, they had Jake DeBrusk, who's played left wing for his entire NHL career, playing as the first line right wing. So, you know, I think stuff like that hurts. But I also do think there's an element of, you know, to say luck is a little bit of a cop out, but they're really not playing poorly. The game against the Islanders on Monday, they really played pretty well, I'd say, in all three zones. You know, they got beaten on a puck battle out of the air late in the third period, or else they probably would have gotten another point at least out of that game. So, you know, I don't think that saying luck is really the right way to put it, but I guess it's definitely not time to panic. Like, it's not like they've looked completely hopeless. They've looked pretty good for stretches of the first three games here. So, you know, is it a fluke that they haven't scored 5-on-5 yet? Probably. And, you know, do I expect it to continue? No, definitely not. But I do think the lineup being a little bit in a state of flux because of, like you mentioned, the injuries, certainly doesn't help, because these guys are coming off of a weird off season, coming into a weird season, and a lot, or at least, you know, a decent amount of them are playing with new line mates. So it takes time to figure out where your wing's going to be, or figure out, you know, what plays you're going to run, things like that. So I think that has a lot to do with, I do think some of it is just, you know, pucks aren't bouncing their way right now, whereas on the other side, the pucks seem to be bouncing against them when it counts. So, you know, it's not great, but it's three games in. It's definitely too early to, I think, really be concerned about it. You know, 13 games in, maybe three games, you kind of have to take it as it comes.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with early in the season is it's like, it's both easy to gloss over problems because it's such a small sample size, and it's easy to magnify things that might not be that serious. It's like a very weird, when there's only a few games, you kind of, yeah, everything's a little bit wonky.
Well, and I think there's an element too of, at least, and I know Bruins fans aren't unique in this, but there's definitely an element of a poor in the eyes of many off season, combined with a poor finish in the bubble, combined with just kind of fans being starved for any sort of hockey and glad it's back. So they kind of just want 3-0 to start the season. And if anything goes wrong, all of a sudden it becomes a huge deal. But I do think the off season, you know, they signed Craig Smith, which is good depth, but I think a lot of fans were expecting a bigger splash. And I know I can't, putting on my armchair psychologist hat here and psychoanalyzing Bruins, which is never a good idea because we're a bit of a weird bunch at our core, I think. But I think a lot of the impatience, I think it's only going to get worse if it continues in this kind of mediocre stretch, just because I think if you took the pulse of a lot of fans, they're not happy with what happened this offseason between Krug leaving, Chara leaving, and then really the only addition being Smith. And, you know, the Bruins fans thought they were in on everyone from, you know, Hall to Mike Hoffman. And then who's the other guy? Dadonov, who signed elsewhere. It seemed like every free agent forward that came up, Bruins fans were convinced that he was going to sign here, and never really panned out. So I do think there's a little bit of off-season angst kind of hanging over this team as well, and I think they could use a stretch of good games to kind of help the fans get over it in a way.
This is one of my favorite things, is when you find out that, you know, two very oppositional fan bases don't really like each other at all. Philly sports fans and Boston sports fans, not a lot of love there. You find out that we're all actually very, very much alike because Flyers fans also, every single offseason, convince themselves that the Flyers are going to sign every top name free agent. And when they don't, they lose their minds. Like, even if there's no reason to think that the Flyers are actually going to sign one of these guys, every time they sign someplace else, it's like some kind of giant failure on the part of the team. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
The reason, you know, Bruins fans and Flyers fans have a bit of a rivalry is because they're the exact same. Neither side would admit it, but it's like
it's true.
It's from the same family who grew up in different states, but at their core, they're the exact same. Cities are both old, you know, old by American standards cities. They both have, you know, love, hate, diehard relationships with their sports teams. And I think that's part of it. It's every sport. It's, you know, whether it's the Sixers or the Eagles or the Flyers.
Yep.
Whoever else, it's always the same. So, yeah, everyone, you know, we're not like Philly. Yeah, sure. Okay. We're all the same. It's fun. That's what makes it fun. But yeah, it's ever. Oh, the Bruins are gonna sign. I remember I got a message on on the Facebook page for Stanley Cup Chowder over the summer, that and I don't knock anyone for sending us a message. We're happy to talk to you. But it's like, what do you think about the Bruins signing Pietrangelo? It's like, no. With what money? They have about $3 million in cap space. Why would they do it? So yeah, everyone's signing here, and when they don't, it's a disaster. And I think, you know, there is a legitimate gripe. Because the Bruins, they got Smith, and Smith's a good complimentary scorer. But, you know, poor David Krejci's been playing with a cardboard cutout on his right wing for the better part of, 6 years now. And, you know, he's going to be done soon. His contract's up. He might be moving on or retiring. So you could argue that, yes, they needed that. But the fact that they didn't, you know, it's like kids at Christmas. It's like they just want every toy on the market. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get it, it's a disaster. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying that I think that kind of, oh, I want him and I want him attitude is still kind of hanging over a lot of fans. So that has something to do with the attitude to start the season here.
So one thing that is going well for the Bruins right now, and always seems to be going well for the Bruins, is both Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak have really good numbers. And obviously, like we've been saying, it's only three games. But it seems like the Bruins' goaltending is always just like rock solid, which is, first of all, extremely annoying for me personally. But also, it's just like, is there any reason to think that Tuukka Rask is going to, at some point, not be this guy? Because, I mean, he's getting older, but he doesn't seem to be showing any sign whatsoever of dipping in performance.
It's funny you would say that, because it seems like every other hockey fan outside of Bruins fans would have a similar opinion that the Bruins have had, you know, elite to very, very good goaltending for the past, you know, 10 years or so. But there's still a very large and vocal segment of the fan base that is still, you know, has a Tim Thomas poster hanging above their bed, as Rask does to him. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, and again, no, you know, this is a Philly podcast, so I could poke fun at the Flyers, but you hear people saying, you know, oh, Rask is never going to win the big game, you know. Like, look at the Flyers over the past 10 years.
Listen.
It's taken them 9 to get to catch a goalie, and they have one now, which is great. But I think for a guy like Rask, yeah, he's got to slow down at some point, and he's had off years by his standards here and there. But the fact that they got Halak and in Halak got a backup they could count on was huge for Rask, because, you know, these guys are human. They're not all like you know, poor Henrik Lundqvist, who the Rangers ran into the ground for forever. Yeah. You know, 60 games a season, things like that. You know, they're gonna burn out, and Rask seems like someone who's particularly affected by that. So the fact that they have a backup now and can play Rask, you know, 60, 65 60% of the time instead of 80 is huge. But, you know, the big thing with him is his contract is up after this season. And like you said, he's not getting any younger. So the interesting thing will be to see if, you know, if, and I don't see it happening, but if this season starts to go south for the Bruins, you know, I do think they could look at, you know, they'd have to go really far south, I guess, but they could look at moving him at the deadline just because they'd get a lot for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear rumors about Colorado wanting Rask or Edmonton or whoever else. I don't think it will happen, but he's been kind of non-committal about if he even wants to keep playing. And, you know, like, more power to him if he's ready to hang him up, you know, good for him. But it's just tough because he's been so for so long, and I really think in some ways he's similar to Chara, where Bruins fans aren't gonna realize or appreciate what they had or have in him, you know, until 5 years down the line when they don't have a goalie anymore. So
yeah, it's always like that.
Yeah, and Chara too. You know, Chara's a guy who's never gonna get the, you know, the highlights. He's not gonna be the flashiest guy, but you know, he's someone was so good at what he did for so long that it's going to take the benefit of hindsight, you know, to look back on it in a few years and realize how good he was. And I think Rask is similar. So, you know, when the Bruins are playing the equivalent of what was the guy's name? Michael Layton, the Flyers guy, mm-hmm. who was in there for mm-hmm. a while, or mm-hmm. you know, all these random goalies who they're going to have to cycle through in a few years, you know, Rask is going to be looking pretty good to even the biggest haters. But, you know, I think time's ticking on that. He's not going to be as good as he is forever, and he's getting older. So, really, I think the last 3 years, you know, this year included, are probably the Bruins' last real kicks at the can for a couple of years at least.
Thinking about Tuukka Rask on the Avalanche is like almost too much for me. That team's already too good. Like they can't also have a goaltender that's that good.
Yeah, well, and
it would be unfair.
I don't know. I probably shouldn't have even said it because I don't think it's going to happen. I actually think his clause might have expired. I think that was in his contract. So maybe, but it, you know, like I said, it would have to go, you know, they'd have to be in like second to last.
Yeah.
In the division with no real climbing out, because I think Sweeney knows that he's running out of time with this group, and it would trading Rask to me would be, regardless of how poor it's going, would be the ultimate waving of the white flag. So I if it comes to that, I mean, it'd be good for us because
things
it takes
gone real bad.
People love wild takes on Stanley Cup of stuff. But, you know, I don't see it happening. I just think, again, not to make fun of the Flyers, but you guys know what it's like to have a carousel in net for years, and the Bruins really haven't had that problem since you go all the way back to 2008, really, which is when Thomas took over, and then ever since then it's been either Thomas or Rask. So, you know, we're spoiled by that, and it's going to be a rude awakening, I think, when Rask hits the road at some point.
So one more guy I want to talk about specifically, because it seemed like he was starting to make a little bit of noise, and I think he might be hurt. Matt Grizzlick, is he out of the lineup right now?
He left the game Monday, but practiced today and appears to be fine.
Okay.
Maybe a little banged up, but it seems like he's not going to miss any time. So he kind of dodged a bullet there with it looked like a pretty, you know, uncomfortable arm elbow injury, but apparently he's going to be fine.
Okay. So let's get into these Flyers games a little bit. What would you say if you had to identify something that would, I guess, be the most difficult thing for the Flyers to work through in this game, like something that might give them fits from this Bruins team, apart from the goaltending, because I think that's obvious. But what would you say is the thing that's going to be the hardest for the Flyers to get through on this Bruins team?
I mean, I would say they still have, even without Pastrnak, they still have 2/3 of what I, you know, unbiased opinion think is the best line in the league. So, you know, I think that people forget, or, you know, because Pastrnak's out, people kind of overlook the fact that the Bruins still do have
a lot of high-end talent up front. Mm-hmm. And I know the Flyers defense has gotten better over the years, and same in goaltending. So it's not exactly a offensive juggernaut versus a sieve or anything. But I do think that the Bruins power play is still good. They still have high end talent up front, even without Pasternak. So I think that's tough for any team to deal with. So the Flyers are no exception. It's just a matter of them putting it all together, because they've had stretches of good possession play, good cycling, things like that. It's been great. It's just that the finish hasn't been there. So, and in some ways, at some point the dam's going to break. And I hate to be the team on the other end when they finally put it all together, because when they're humming, they're a tough team to beat. But I just think, the Flyers are a good team as well, so it's not like it's going to be uneven. But I do still think, Bergeron, Marchand, whoever's up there with them tomorrow night is still going to be a handful, regardless of how good the defense is on the Philly side.
See, I actually am a little bit worried about that, because the Flyers are a little bit banged up. And even when they weren't, the defense is a bit of a problem right now. So it's a little thin back there. So I am a little bit concerned, I would say, heading into these games.
I think you could make the same argument the other way, though, too, because, we know that Philly has some really high-end talent, too, maybe not quite. I mean, now, because Pasternak's out, I'd say maybe not quite at that Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak level at their best. But the Bruins defense is young and kind of figuring it out on the fly right now. So it's interesting, because, in some ways the teams are, you could almost argue they're like passing each other on train tracks going in the opposite direction, where, the Flyers are talented and young and on the way up, and the Bruins are talented, aging, and perhaps on the way down. I don't want to say that. I don't want to speak it into existence, but young defenses and talented forward groups and good goaltending, just kind of one team's getting older in a not great way and one team's getting older in a good way, more experienced and stuff like that. So
yeah,
interesting. I think the fact that they play each other so much this season, I think the Flyers and the Flyers fans will learn a lot about their team by playing the Bruins, Capitals, Penguins, all of them so much, and the Bruins too are going to learn how much they have left in the tank by playing these teams with good young talent.
Yeah, I'm into this whole Bruins in the division thing. Maybe not forever, but for 1 year it's going to be fun, because Bruins Flyers games, I think, are always like, they're always a pretty good game to watch. So getting extra ones is not, I'm not mad at it, to be honest with you. Even if, lot of times for Bruins,
Well, for us, it's just, I can't speak for all Bruins fans, but I've had just about enough of playing the Leafs in the playoffs. So, to get that possibility out of the way. I mean, they could meet after, I suppose, but I'm just happy to not have to see the, not having Montreal kind of stinks, but it's, in a way, having the Flyers as a substitute is definitely not a bad thing, because there is a little bit of a fan base rivalry there. So anything that gets me less of the Ottawa Senators, though, I view as a bonus. So I think that the new division is with me for a little while.
So would you say the defense then is the weak spot coming into this for the Bruins, apart from the injuries, obviously?
A mixture of the defense and really the that sounds dumb. The defense and the offense is the weakness. They have no strength at all. No, I think, the defense, like I said at the beginning, hasn't been bad. They're young. Then they're going to lean really heavily on Charlie McAvoy really for as long as they can. But they're missing, other than McAvoy, and, Brendan Carlo is good too, as is Grizzlick. But, the rest of that defense is either coming back from long-term injury like Kevin Miller, or is still relatively green, and Jeremy Lauzon and Zboril and whoever else might be plugged in. So it's the fact that they're doing okay probably speaks as much about team defense and goaltending as it does about you know, these young defensemen. But I think they've acquitted themselves nicely so far. It's just, you know, they've played the Devils and twice and the Islanders once. The Islanders obviously have some high-end skill, but I would definitely say that the Flyers are the best team they've played so far. So I'd be interested to see how those second and third pairings, third pairing in particular, matches up against some of the Philly forwards, because, you know, again, they're not terrible, but they're young. You know, they're three games into new pairings, new ice time, things like that. So I think, yes, I would say that that's maybe not a weakness so much, but as an area that could potentially be exploited by a good team. So not that the Islanders are not a good team, but I think they're not at the same level as the Flyers right now. So I think the test for Islanders. Well, I'm sick of the Islanders, because every time they play the Islanders, we have to hear the same 2015 draft take over and over again. So you have to hear about Barzal and whoever else the Bruins didn't draft. Like, yeah, Konechny. We get it. Yeah, that too. Yeah. See, the thing is, he wasn't as much of one until I forget when the game was, but whenever it was that he turned Patrice Bergeron inside out a couple of years ago. That was when people, and I think, you know, it's not that it was like a devastating game for the Bruins thing, but I remember watching that and like, oh, that guy's pretty good. And then he came up as well. And the other one is, I don't know, you can tell me how he's viewed by Flyers fans, but I started doing this thing years ago where every time David Pastrnak scored, I would say who the other team drafted instead of him in the first round, and a lot of times it was hilarious. Like the Islanders, I think, was like Michael Dalcol, who I don't even know.
Oh, boy.
But the Flyers was Travis Sanheim, and for a while that was fine because he like wasn't even playing for the Flyers. But now he's around, right? I don't know how good he is.
He's pretty good.
Even things like that was good ammo for at least Twitter. And now all of a sudden, like, all right, well, he's doing fine. So I can't really say that. So yeah, I'm sick of the Islanders for that reason. It's just, we know the draft sucked. Everyone knows that. It wasn't a good draft. So let's find else. But yeah, we'll see.
If you told me I could trade Travis Sanheim for David Pastrnak one for one, wouldn't that be a difficult choice? I'm just going to say that you guys won that one.
You could do that for every draft. And again,
the
thing about that draft with Barzal, the two picks, the two of the three, so Zboril and DeBrusk were picked relatively in line with where they ranked. But Sweeney went way off the board with Zach Senyshyn, and he is the one of the three who has really not panned out. He's on the taxi squad and make an appearance at some point, but you know, they had two guys, and two of the guys they drafted instead of Barzal were in the lineup against the Islanders on Monday and did fine. It's when you see a guy it's the same thing we talked about before. When you see a guy who's as talented as that, you want him on your team. And when Bruins fans know they could have drafted him, it becomes the end of the world. But we're a dramatic bunch. That's just how it is. People love to complain. So just like Philly fans.
Exactly. So I'm actually glad that you mentioned that this is kind of like the biggest test for the Bruins thus far, because this is certainly the biggest test for the Flyers thus far as well. Like, they have not played a good hockey team yet. They've got, you know, the Penguins that are got some stuff going on there. And the Sabres obviously are not. The Sabres have like some, the Sabres actually, having watched them now, are better than I expected them to be, but they're still like not very good. So this is, I think, I'm interested to see with the injuries how the Flyers are able to handle what is obviously the best team that they've played so far in this young season. So should be fun for both of us, I think.
Yeah, and I would think too, you know, the Devils are not absolutely horrible, but I would say that they you know, they probably have fewer good pieces, obviously, than Buffalo does. So the Bruins haven't played a team like that. And the Islanders are okay as well. But, you know, the Bruins played Flyers in the bubble and did not look good in doing so. So, and I know that was weird bubble hockey time, and they really didn't look good that entire, you know, summer. But to me, you know, if you're looking at the division before the season started, I'd think you'd put the, you know, Bruins and Flyers as a couple of the teams who'd battle it out for, you know, first, second, third, along with maybe Washington and Pittsburgh and whoever else. So, and I think the Islanders are okay. But to me, if you're looking at the top four, you'd probably put them in a blender of the Capitals, Flyers, Bruins, and Penguins. And, you know, this is the Flyers' turn, the Bruins' turn to play the Flyers. So it's interesting because it'll, I guess, like you said, it'll be a test or a measuring stick of sorts for both teams, and, you know, could be a big boost for the Flyers if they can not only hang with, but, you know, beat the Bruins. And it could be the same as vice versa, because I think, you know, Bruins and Bruins fans know the Flyers are on their way up and handled the Bruins pretty well in the bubble. So if they can come out and scoring a 5-on-5 goal would be a start, but if they can come out and play well against the Flyers, you know, it'll probably ease some of the dramatics and concerns on this side of the aisle, you know, a few games into the season.
The last thing I'm going to ask you is for some shot in the dark blind guesses. Give me a score for tomorrow night's game and how you think this series will go.
I would say tomorrow I'll say 3-1 Bruins. And the series, you mean the season series as a whole or just the upcoming?
Just these two games.
I would say they split. Maybe the second one, the Flyers win in overtime or a shootout if I'm going to pick the Bruins in regulation. But I, again, is anything really that surprising? No, but I would be surprised if this early in the season with all the rust and figuring things out and injuries on both sides, I'd be kind of surprised if one team won both, especially if one team won both handily. So I would say they split them in some fashion, maybe one in regulation and one in, hopefully not a shootout, because I'm not sure. Well, Brad Marchand scored in the shootout against New Jersey, but if he's shooting in the shootout against Philly again, he might have flashbacks to forgetting the puck last year. So, no, you know what? Maybe he needs to exercise his demons. He needs to get it out of the way this early and get back on the Philly horse. So we'll see.
I know that must have been like a very bad thing for you to watch, but I got to tell you, it brought me so much joy when it happened.
Oh, and even thinking hilarious. About it.
Absurd.
It was so funny. It was great. It was one of the things watching, you know, obviously, you know, that happens in the heat of a playoff race and it costs the Bruins spot or something, then it's not as funny. But watching it live, it was just like, there's no way. Did he actually touch the, yeah, he did. All right, great. So that counts. And it's just like, it's one of those things where it's funny because I found it the other day, yesterday, I think, and I tweeted the video again, but it's one of those things where it's almost so absurd that it's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious. But the other one was a couple of years ago when Tuukka Rask's skate blade fell off during the playoffs against the Lightning, and they scored a goal on the play, and he picked up the skate blade and held it up at the ref like a knife and then threw it across the ring. So at the time, it made it a one goal game, and the Bruins lost that series. I believe they won that game, but even watching it then, it's like, it's okay to laugh just because it hurts the team you're cheering for. It's still hilarious. And then, I mean, the memes, especially on Twitter after the Marchand thing, were hilarious. It's okay to laugh. Like, it's great. It's still funny to this day. And he, you know, he scored on his first attempt this year against New Jersey. So maybe he's okay. But, you know, I know from your perspective from a non-Bruins fan perspective, I imagine there's not a better guy you could wish for that to happen to than someone like Marchand, who has made a living out of getting under people's skin, and then he forgets the puck on a shootout and loses the game. So it's funny, you know, that's what happens in Bruins Flyers games. There's always something weird
I have a weird.
We'll get something weird tomorrow.
Yeah. I have a weird fondness for Brad Marchand because I lived in Halifax for 6 months and literally every single person that I met had a Brad Marchand story and it made me very happy. Apparently he drinks and pees all over the city, just peeing everywhere. Everyone had a story about Brad Marchand peeing someplace public.
Based on stories about him after the Stanley Cup in 2011, I would say that you know, there's
tracks,
connection,
right?
There. I wouldn't. I mean, I didn't hear any quite as obvious as peeing in public, but he is someone who certainly lived it up after they won the Stanley Cup. So hey, I mean, he plays as well as he does. If he wants to, yeah. He wants to have maybe don't, you know, be in public. You can probably reel that in a little bit, but yeah, whatever. Have a good time.
Exactly.
Everyone wants you. Everyone wants him. It's stupid. It's a cliche, but everyone would be happy if he was on their team, especially now that he's only gotten better all around every year. So
yeah, for
I think we're happy to have him here, and we can excuse a hilarious shootout misstep every once in a while.
All right, just for the record, I'll say that I also think that the Bruins are going to win the first game of this little two-game stint. I'm going to say 2-1 Bruins, and then I think the Flyers will win kind of big on Saturday, maybe like, I don't know, 4-2 or something like that, 4-1. Who the hell knows? Yeah. Just making it up.
I mean, I don't see... Given that neither team I don't think has hit their stride yet, I would be surprised if one team took both. Like I said, you know, a fluke or, you know, a weird bounce, maybe in overtime or something, sure. But I would think that, you know, this is a good measuring stick mini series here for both sides. And I'd think that, you know, each team will have something to take home, you know, when the little series is over. So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Whatever happens on Saturday, I think it's going to be
a lot more fun. Yep.
Whatever happens Saturday, we're going to have, a really good time, because the way the Flyers have been going with these little two-game series has been the first game, two teams clearly figuring each other out, standard hockey game. Second game, absolute shit show of emotion. Like, just two teams that hate each other, and it's been, I'm into it. I'm kind of digging the way that this weird schedule is going so far. It's been fun.
Well, it happened a little bit for the Bruins too, because in the season opener, you know, I don't think anyone can really have a rivalry with the Devils at this point, because they're just, they're like
so
the
bad.
Wild of the
Eastern
Conference. Like, nobody cares really. But you know, Miles Wood ran into Tuukka Rask like three times. I think he got two penalties and then hit him another time too, in that first game. And then in the second game, Kevin Miller and him got in a fight. And it's like, oh, cool, there's a rivalry. But, you know, maybe not a rivalry. There's a little animosity brewing. This is fun. And then they played the Islanders. And again, who cares?
Seriously.
Who cares about the Islanders? You can't even really summon that many feelings about the Islanders. They're just kind of there.
Annoyance.
So I think
that's all I got for them.
And even... Yeah, like it's more indifference. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, you're there. Great. Like, at least the Rangers, there's some history involved and things like that. And I know the Islanders were good back in the day and stuff. But I think it'll be fun for Bruins fans and Flyers fans as well to kind of kick this off, because, you know, I think we're all expecting by one or at least one, if not both teams, to kind of be right there at the end of the season at the top of the division. And you know, it'll be good to get a little animosity going and a little maybe rekindle the rivalry from back in the 2010-2011 stretch, and ideally not with a playoff collapse again, but hey, who knows. It's been a weird couple of years. Who knows what could happen.
Yeah, I would predict that by the end of the season the Flyers and the Bruins are going to want to kill each other, like, in the very best way. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Super excited about it. But yeah. Dan, thank you so much for hanging out. This is actually really good. Longest one I've done so far this season. So thank you for that. Yeah. We've got two games, 7 p.m. both nights, which is nice. 7:30 p.m. starts are garbage. Dan, thank you so much. I hope that you enjoy the games. If you guys want to learn a little bit about the Bruins, head on over to Stanley Cup of Chowder, which is an excellent blog, and also excellent follow on Twitter. One of my favorite of the SB Nation hockey blogs to follow on Twitter. You guys are funny. So check them out. They do excellent work. Dan, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoy the game, and go Flyers.
Thanks, and go Bruins, or go fun. Just a good game. That's all we want.
These two teams, everybody have fun out there.
Yeah, that's Pierre Maguire's specialty. Yeah. Let's go have fun out there.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.